You are locked into Locked On Badgers on a Thursday night into Friday. My name is Asher Lowe, and we better have a better game to talk about after tomorrow night. I'll be giving you a recap show up right after the Rutgers game tomorrow night. This is Locked On Badgers. We are forgetting about the Michigan game, and we are moving on to Rutgers preview show today. We recorded this live, and I say we, it was me and Richie Schneiderite, who runs the Rutgers Rivals site. So we recorded a live preview on his YouTube channel. That is up on YouTube. You can find that on my Twitter at ALOW_33 or at Richie's Twitter or at Rutgers Report on Rivals.com. You can find Locked On Badgers wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes up all through the week. If you are on Spotify, please hit that follow button. If you are on Apple, please scroll down to the bottom, leave a 5-star review and a comment, and make sure you follow to know when we are posting episodes. Locked On Badgers Rutgers preview. It's going to be a little different than most of the previews I do because we did record it live. So just to give you a heads up, it will be, you know, a little different format. It just kind of flows like a live show instead of rather me kind of organizing an interview with someone. It's more me being interviewed than I ask him questions and stuff. We throw it back, more of a conversation than just a pure interview. We already recorded it live. So here is that live preview show previewing tomorrow night's game between Rutgers and Wisconsin, 8 p.m. Central tip, 6 p.m. Pacific. I'm on Pacific time right now. So 8 p.m. Central tip at the Rack, a scary place to go. Rutgers was undefeated at the Rack last year. They've dropped 3 in a row. Wisconsin just blown up by Michigan. So this is an interesting game for both teams needing a win. And here is our preview. And at the end, we give you our predictions for Friday night.
And we're live. What's going on, everybody? Rich Schneider right here from the Night Report. I'm joined by Asher Lowe of the Badgers Wire. Asher, well, what's going on, man?
Nothing much. I'm just ready to forget about Tuesday and the Michigan. I don't know. It's more than a loss. I don't know what to call it, really. And move on to tomorrow night.
Awesome. So I guess let's just start off with that. For those of you that don't know, Asher's the part of the Badgers Wire. It's actually explain it a little bit, what it is and what network you're affiliated with and stuff like that.
Yeah, so it's through USA Today Sports, and it's basically beat writing stuff at badgerswire.com, and we cover all things, you know, football, basketball, similar to Rutgers Rivals, a lot of recruiting stuff, a lot of game preview, post-game, in-game stuff. And I also run Locked On Badgers, a daily Wisconsin podcast with the Locked On Podcast Network, once again covering Wisconsin football and basketball.
All right, so I guess you kind of mentioned it before. Let's talk about that Wisconsin-Michigan game. What the heck happened?
What didn't happen for Wisconsin? I mean, it was abysmal from top to bottom, and the players know that. And it's not something we've been accustomed to seeing from this senior-led group to have a game like that. There's been struggles at times throughout the year. There hasn't been anything close to that. And I want to first give some credit to Michigan. They are a much better team than I thought they were a couple weeks ago. They've proven it now. It's not about the, you know, lack of competition and all that good stuff I was trying to tweet about. They've proven it. They're deep. They have Isaiah Livers, Franz Wagner, two really good creators that fill in for Hunter Dickinson nicely. And then obviously the true freshman from DeMatha has been fantastic, even though he wasn't, you know, great in that first half. Micah Potter really negated his impact in the first half, but it didn't matter, because Wisconsin's entire rotation, except for Demetri Trice and Micah Potter, could not find offense. The other 6 of the 8 players in the rotation, not named Trice or Potter, combined 8 for 35 from the field. I think that pretty much sums it up right there.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the box score real quick. It definitely wasn't pretty. They had, 4 guys, 5 guys in double digits? Jeez.
Yeah, it was ugly. It was really ugly. The sad part is they did the one thing I thought they were going to do well, and the reason I thought they were going to stay in the game and have a good chance to win it is they did negate Dickinson, and Micah Potter did a really good job through the first 10 minutes. He picked up 2 fouls with 8:30-ish left in the first half. He sat for the rest of the half. That was that. Wisconsin went down 17 at halftime, and it was over.
So I know, guys, if you have any other questions about the Wisconsin or Rutgers, please just submit them in the chat. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button down low. We're joined by Asher Lowe of the Badgers Wire, talking a little Rutgers and Wisconsin basketball teams. If you can't tell by now by the stream, it says on the bottom, teams play tomorrow night at 9 on FS1. It's going to be a weird matchup. I know, obviously Wisconsin's coming off that bad loss. Rutgers is coming off 3 straight losses. I haven't played in a week now since the Penn State game was postponed. Asher, what do you think this Wisconsin Badgers team is coming into? Do you think they're going to come in ready to go, pissed off, or are they going to be lazy again, I guess I should say?
I think that if we trust what they've said, which Dimitri Trice, the first thing he said, and he's been the real leader this year, he's taken the next step. Last year, he was just kind of another senior, right? He was another guy, a junior then, but another senior leader on this team, a guy that just was kind of part of the pack, right? A guy that would have his offensive nights, a guy that would sometimes shy away offensively. Now he is a star, and he's come out every night and brought it. Even against Michigan, he brought it. And he said that they have to come out with the intensity and energy to match Rutgers and the most intensity and energy they've had all season. And I do believe him. For him, the question is it going to happen 1 through 8, and is it going to happen for 40 minutes?
Yeah, gotcha. So, I mean, tell me a little bit about Dimitri Price. What does he do well? I know last year, I think he wasn't even in double digits per game, and this year he's at, what, 15, 16 per game, I think?
Yeah, he is. And if you look at the last five, he's over 20 points a game, well over. He was over 22 points a game, if you don't count the Michigan game, and I haven't calculated what he is after that Michigan game, but he's right around there still. He has really elevated his game in pick and roll. He is a much better high pick and roll player than he's ever been in his 4 years. He's much better with the basketball late in the shot clock. It kind of often finds him on broken possessions, and he's gotten way better at that element of his game. He's always been able to pull up from anywhere on the floor and hit shots consistently. I think the difference for him, though, is attacking the rim, finishing at the rim, and then creating for others, which in turn has then led to creating for himself, because he's just better in the pick and roll, which is a lot of his offense late in the shot clock with Wisconsin.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking at the bigs right now. You guys have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys over 6'9", I think, if I read that right.
Yeah, and we start two that are almost 7 feet.
Yeah, so what makes these guys so big, or so good, I should say? Micah Potter, I know, obviously, he's near triple-double numbers. I know Nate Reavers is a heck of a shooter as well as a – I guess he kind of playing the post a little bit too, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about those two is that last year they didn't play together at all, and it was this whole thing of like, oh, we got to play them together. That was me yelling a lot on Twitter about playing them together. And this year they start together in every game. They've started every game in the same starting five, but after that, in almost every game, they've barely been on the floor together at all, which I think is interesting. They kind of played the first 3 minutes of each half together. And I don't expect that to change against Rutgers, and it really shouldn't, just looking at your guys' lineup. Yeah. Not that it's not one of the more talented lineups in the Big Ten, but it's not one of the biggest. So I think that we'll see only one of them on the floor at most times. It'll be interesting to see that first few minutes, though, I assume that the pattern will hold and Reavers and Potter will start together, one of them on Miles Johnson and then the other one on I don't even know.
Ron Harper, probably.
I guess on Ron.
That's
where I'm saying, like, are they even going to start together? Like, I don't know who one of them would guard on just in terms of Rutgers' personnel. So I don't expect them to be together at all playing. But if you're looking at their skill set, Micah Potter is solid on the low block as a scorer. Nice little jump hook, good footwork on the block, athletic, strong, but not the quickest laterally, especially defensively. And he's struggled with guys that are like Miles Johnson, guys that are heavy pick and roll, not necessarily great post scorers like a Hunter Dickinson. That's the kind of player Potter can stop pretty well. Yeah. Like a Dickinson who's just kind of lay on the block, shoulder you, put up a little lefty baby hook, whatever he does on the block, Potter can do a good job to contain. The issue is when a guy like Miles Johnson is flying above the rim in pick and roll and Potter can't get there quick enough. That's been more the issue for him. So I'm curious to see how he handles Johnson. And then Nate Reavers really struggled against Michigan and has just been empty in the first halves for some reason. It's like the tank's on empty when he starts the game, and then he just gets this Michael's Secret stuff at halftime and comes out and balls. He didn't ball in the second half at Michigan, but he's closed games really well offensively with those mid-range jumpers in the post. But for some reason, the first half of games has been a disaster, and we'll see if that continues.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking. I don't know if you've paid attention to the Rutgers recently, but Miles Johnson's just been – he hasn't been the same Miles Johnson as in the past. He's been looking gassed a little bit here and there. I guess that's mostly because Cliff Amarui, his backup – or I should say Cliff, the starter, is not there to spell him a little bit. So now you kind of got me intrigued by saying those two bigs are going to play at the same time. Because like we just brought up, how are they going to guard Ron Harper Jr., who's quicker, I guess, compared to most fours in the Big Ten, but – at the same time, Reavers is the bigger guy on the defensive end. So it's like, I don't know. It's intriguing for sure. I don't know if you would start Reavers if you're Wisconsin, especially if with the struggle you were just talking about. But is there another guy that could kind of play that, I guess, 3-4 role guarding Ron?
Yeah, I think that if you're thinking about a matchup for Ron Harper, it's probably Aleem Ford that comes to mind first. 6'8", can mix it up athletically, defensively. Good player that can guard multiple positions and a smart defender overall. His offense is where I've just been bewildered, and not in a good way. Just really confused. Basically, anytime I watch him, he either looks like a world beater or like someone that I don't recognize is on the court on offense. So it's been just all over the place. But he has the skills to do it, and he has the physicality to match up with Harper and the size that could give him some problems. I think if you're going smaller, Brad Davison could make sense. He's strong enough to handle Ron Harper. He gives up about 2 inches, but I think Aleem Ford will be the guy that starts on him. And like I said, I don't know how you can start Reavers and Potter in terms of defensively. I don't know who they can guard together in this specific game. So I'd be curious to see if they even start together.
Yeah, no, it's definitely interesting. I keep looking at the stats and it's just, I don't want to be mean, but how the hell is Wisconsin 10-3 with, I think they're middle tier to low tier of the Big Ten in just about every stat category, but free throws.
It's a good question. I think the answer has been defense, and has been Demetra Trice, who has been a real star in this conference, one of the best players in the conference over the last few weeks. If not maybe the best guard in the conference over the last few weeks, playing the best basketball of his career. And that's something Wisconsin just hasn't had for the last few years, a guy that can take over a game offensively consistently, because it's always, you'll have this breakout Brad Davison game, right? And then 2 weeks later, you'll have a breakout Trice game. But it's just these little kind of explosions, fireworks here and there. It hasn't been that consistent leader offensively, and that's who Trice has turned into. So I think that's a big part of it. But for Rutgers, I'm curious to throw it back to you now a little bit.
Yeah, by all means.
Have been just, I feel like everyone has been knocked up a little bit this year for Rutgers. I'm glad Caleb McConnell's back, because, man, he went through a lot to get back. And how much has the injury factor played into this 3-4 Big Ten record in the last three losses versus just not performing?
I think right away you look at the first loss of that three-game losing streak against Iowa. They didn't have Cliff Amarui, who's been their starter for the first six games, whatever it was of the season. I know he doesn't do anything like crazy special, but it's just, like I said before, he's kind of there to spell Miles Johnson, give Miles a break. You could see Miles has been gassed these past couple games. Mm-hmm. Even mentally too, you see him miss a layup and you just see him walking down the court, his head's down the whole time. And between that, between missing free throws on top of that, getting Caleb back though is huge, and it's definitely going to help them a lot. I know his first two games, he was shook off a little rust. I think he went 0-9 in those two games, which it's whatever. The guy hasn't played in over a year. And then coming back from like a serious back injury like that, or spinal injury, it's definitely difficult to come back from. But this just hasn't been the same Steve Peichel coached Rutgers team over these past few games. Maybe the Iowa 2-point loss kind of got to them and just ruined their mojo completely. Who knows? But the beginning of the year was kind of live and die by Ron's 20-point games, and it just hasn't
been. Yeah, I noticed that. I mean, it was like, I think I did a preview today. It was like 4-1, 5-1 when he scores 18 or more.
Yeah.
And 1-4 when he doesn't. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag is the one place the Locked On Podcast Network trusts for all your betting needs. And you can sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag. You can use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, all caps, no spaces. And when you put in your first deposit, and you put in a deposit to bet on anything you could think of, college football, basketball, you got the NFL playoffs this weekend. Packer fans, I know you're loving that -7 against the Rams, and I like the -7, so Packer fans, I'm sure you like it too. Go to betonline.ag right now, drop your money in, you get that 50% welcome bonus with the code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, and you can bet on NFL playoffs this weekend. Packer fans, I'm rooting for you.
Yeah, I hate to say it's live and die by Ron, but that's honestly what it's been. No one else has really stepped up. Geo Baker had a little injury in the beginning of the year. Then he got dinged up a little against, who was it, Ohio State or the game before that? Forget which game it was, but I don't know if he's 100%. Ron doesn't even look like he's 100%. He missed one game this year. And it's just it. They all should be healthy for this game tomorrow night. They had a week off to rest, so there should be no excuses. The only one that's like questionable right now is Cliff Amarui, who obviously missed the past 2 to 3 weeks. And I think it looked like he hyperextended his knee back when they played, I believe it was Syracuse or Maryland. I forget exactly which game. It feels like the season's flying by already.
It does.
But yeah, it's insane. And I think the fact that there's no rack, like, atmosphere, it hurts, man.
It was going to be different, but that place was a lockdown fortress.
Yeah.
I was frightened.
Trapezoid of terror, man. It was
trapezoid of terror.
That's what they call it. It's definitely tough to play there, and I think having fans, it kind of hurts you a little bit. I'm not going to say it's going to make a huge difference, but I think you can argue. Some coaches have even said it last year. The rack could be a 10-point difference for some teams. Or for Rutgers against some teams.
What does Vegas give home court advantage? Like 3 or 4 points? The Rock is probably double that, at least.
It's absolutely insane. But I don't know. I really don't know what they're gonna do. I don't like the matchup against Wisconsin at all. I don't like the fact that Wisconsin's coming into this game probably beyond upset, beyond mad, beyond pissed off, and they just wanna come in and they're gonna try to kick the shit out of Rutgers. We'll see what happens, but they're going to have to defend the home court. Someone else is going to have to step up. You're going to need Ron to step up. And then after that, it's just going to come down to rebounding. And they just haven't been rebounding. I think they got out-rebounded their past five games. This entire – like, this is not a Steve Peichel
basketball. No. That's not the Rutgers basketball I saw last year.
No, it's just insane that this is even happening. But, again, you can kind of put that on injuries and guys being gassed, guys being tired. So, we'll see what happens. But – I'm trying to look at this Wisconsin roster. I think who else are the other two losses against?
So the Marquette game was just like classic Wisconsin loss. Just looked really sloppy in the half court offensively. Didn't have a creator step forward on offense. That was kind of before Trice found his star rhythm that he's found over the last few weeks. And Wisconsin just couldn't find it offensively. They were also out physical inside there by a big front line. Theo John, have you ever seen him? He literally looks like a defensive end in the NFL. He's Marquette's power forward. He is huge. And guys like that just give Wisconsin problems sometimes with out-physicaling. Is that even a word? Them. And the way the game was lost was a tip-in off a missed free throw by Marquette that was literally just potted in fully boxed out, and that was that. So that sums it up right there. And then
I think it was the Maryland game, right?
Oh, man. That was – have you noticed this, by the way, that bench energy from the beginning, you can see it in like the first 3 minutes of a game, really dictates a win and a loss in the Big Ten right now?
Huge difference. I'm telling you, like back to Miles Johnson missing that free throw. You saw the bench, everyone's like this. But the minute someone dunks it, everyone's like, let's go.
And Maryland came into that game just hungry. Mark Turgeon had these guys feasting for a win. I think they were 0-2, maybe 0-3 even. And at that point when they came in and they just lost a tough one to Purdue, they came in to the Kohl Center and it was like a Maryland home game. I mean, the bench was that lit from the tip. And I think that's what made the difference. They shot the lights out in the second half as well. And Wisconsin couldn't close offensively, but I think it was the bench energy that did Wisconsin in there. And Maryland really wanted that one more. And I hope Wisconsin shows that kind of want on Friday night.
One of those losses was Rutgers, obviously, versus Maryland. And they manhandled them pretty much. 38, actually same rebounds, but again, Ron Harper, 27 points. Geo stepped up for 13. If they can get those two guys just to step up, I think they have a very good shot against this Wisconsin team. I don't think I think people are probably going to look at it and be like, oh, Rutgers 0-3 last three. They're not ranked anymore, blah, blah, blah. They're done for the year. No, I don't think so. I think it's like just a bad slump. And I think once you get that one win, this could be that win for them. You know how it is. It's just momentum. Yeah. And that's
the Big Ten.
Can we talk about that for a second? Oh, my God.
It's just so good. I want to say, by the way, too, real quick, is that I talked so much trash about Michigan for the last couple weeks. But if you've seen my Twitter and the way I talk about the Big Ten, you know Rutgers has a special place in my heart for whatever reason. I have no connection. But I'm pretty sure that Rutgers is just my second favorite program in both football and basketball and has been for the last few years.
I don't think anyone here is going to complain about that. But
I do want to ask a quick question about Gio before we talk Big Ten.
Yeah, go for it.
What in the world is going on with him? Because I haven't watched enough Rutgers to know. Is he just missing? Because I look at the efficiency, and he's shooting 22% from three, 36% from the field. And I know he doesn't take the best shots. I've watched him take and make bad shots and miss a lot of them too.
Yeah.
But what is going on with him?
Number one, I think I kind of mentioned before a little bit. He had that ankle injury early on. He came back. I think he had like, I forget the exact numbers, but he had double digits in the first two games back. Everyone's like, oh, Gio's back. He's great again. Next two games, it's like back in like, I think the 4 and 5 point range, something like that. But after that, he can't, and he just hasn't been the same since that injury, I think. Here, I got it pulled up real quick right now. Came back from injury, dropped. Where is it? Dropped 19, I think it was, against Purdue, then 13 against Iowa, and then 5 and 4 versus Michigan State and Ohio State. And it's just like, what is going on? There's a lot of questionable threes that he's taking. And even when he gets the open shots, he's just clanking them off the edge of the rim. And it's just like, who is this player? This isn't the same Gio. Right. He's missing those step backs that he always is known for, I guess you should say. I don't know. I really don't think – I think – again, back to the mental breakdown. Once you just have that one bad game, it's just like, oh, what the hell? Everyone on the team, like, they went into this Michigan State game, I guess, a week and a half ago, 2 weeks. The energy was just by the bench, going based off the bench alone. They missed that early layup. They missed, like, oh, they're missing open layups. I think they're shooting 60% from, like, wide open layups or something like that. I forget what the exact number is. I know my beat writer, Chris Nowalski, mentioned the other day. I think it's 60%. On layups in general. And it's just like, what the hell? You can't be missing these. But between that, between shooting slumps, I think it's just a really, really bad slump for him. And he's just having a tough time getting out of it. Obviously, once he does get out of it, he'll go back to Gio of
the beast.
Yeah, pretty much.
I love Gio.
Yeah. He's an intriguing player too, because he's not like your traditional point guard. He's not a traditional shooting guard by any means. He's a combo guard. But, yeah, 1 of 5 from three. Actually, his three-pointers from all year round have been awful. He had one game. He's only had one game where he shot over 30% from three, and it's just
– yeah, it's been just a struggle. I look at the numbers for him, and it's just been a struggle versus Ron Harper as Mr. Efficient. I mean, to shoot 46% from three, 52% from the field as the leading scorer, scoring 20 a game in college basketball. Like, I don't know how many non-big men, dominant big men like Garza types are doing that.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I forget which announcer brought it up in one of the games, but they even said if it wasn't for Garza, and this is before Ron's little, like, slump he had, if it wasn't for Garza, Ron would be right up there for player of the year. He's transformed his game to another level. I think he has future NBA written all over him. Definitely helps that your dad was an NBA player and D-Ron Harper. So it's like,
legend.
Yeah, so that definitely helps. But, and it's shooting 50%. Well, it was 50%. Would you say 46, 47 from three?
Yeah, 40, like that. Almost 46% from three, if I remember from the preview I did.
Which is just absolutely ridiculous. He was shooting from three. Like, he's making every three, and this guy averages about, like, 12 threes a game, I think, if I'm right. Yeah, I think around that area.
What has been the so you mentioned, like, he's taking the game to the next level. I've seen it, obviously, on the stat sheet. I haven't watched him enough to fully know. I've watched a few full Rutgers games this year, but –
7 threes per game, by the way.
Not enough to fully know. What's been the jump for him offensively?
I think he's just getting open. He's getting open looks more than anything. I think Jacob Young taking over and taking his game to the next level, being able to drive and kick right away is just – it's been huge for him. The offense has been stagnant recently, of course, but I think people are starting to realize, like, oh, hey, like, Ron's actually, like, a legitimate threat. Like, cover him out there, cover him inside. I don't care what it is, cover him. And I think that's the biggest reason, one of the biggest reasons why they're losing lately. I think he had what against Ohio State?
He's been in a slump.
He's been a really.
You said the stat earlier, but that's super telling for Rutgers. That number is 18 for Ron Harper, and they're 5 so, when he gets there.
Yeah. So how are you going to go from 30 points, 26, 27, 28, 20, and then 13, 13, 11? It's like, all right, dude, something's going on. But, teams are just starting to figure it out, I think. But overall, I think he's averaging 8 threes a game. It's just a ton of wide open looks, and he's knocking them down. He's even with, I shouldn't even say wide open. He's hitting threes with defenders in his face at times. And then, of course, there's always fast break transition buckets that he's always going to get. He loves those alley oops thrown to him that you see at least, I want to say, at least one attempt per game to him for an alley oop. So, that's pretty much it. They're Ron. They just, once he gets out of the slump, I think him and Gio, once they both get out of the slump, Caleb's playing good. Jacob's playing good. Montez is playing solid.
Against Ohio State. That was big. I love his game when he's healthy. Like, he's the kind of guy where you look at him, and this is kind of like a lean forward too, but for Caleb McConnell, it's a little bit more explanatory, where he's just been so injured. And like, I read the thing about the broken foot he didn't know he had. I mean, that is horrifying to play on that for a few months. I couldn't imagine. That,
I think it was a slip disc also or something like that.
Yeah, in his back, I saw. But it's
insane.
But yeah, but how – no, but I was going to say about him, 6'7", NBA type of body, right? That kind of
lean
NBA vibe to him as a scorer. He's smooth when he gets it going. If he's healthy, I think like – he can turn into a really good player. I just hope he can stay healthy for long enough.
See, that's a thing I was kind of intrigued about. I thought if he was going into the season healthy, I thought there was no way, like, this isn't the guy replacing Akwazi Yeboah. He's coming in. He's going to start that three role. It's kind of like old school, like basketball, where you actually have positions and stuff. But he's a good defender. He can play. He can guard anything from, like, 1 to 3. You can even argue maybe a smaller 4 he can guard, but – once he gets his offensive game down, I think the sky's the limit for him. Rutgers did take him after Mac McClung decommitted, and it kind of seemed like there's been a little like battle between a couple like fans I've seen on the board, like, oh, Mac McClung's not as good. But I think that I know. I don't want to hear it.
Did we watch last night? Rutgers
I don't want to talk about it. That was bad one. That was that clutch three. But, Caleb's developing very nicely. And the fact that this year won't count is only going to help him more. And I think he's going to be a 5-year player if he decides to come back for that 5th year. And he looks good. If he can keep up what he just did against Ohio State, I don't see any reason why he shouldn't go into the starting lineup eventually. But I don't know who you take out. There's Gio. There's Jacob. Montez is your, like, lockdown 3-and-D guy.
Montez has been a lot more 3 this year. He always had the D, but the 3-pointer has been a huge transformation for him, and I feel like probably opens things up for the other guys, right?
Yeah, he actually struggled pretty badly early on with the 3-ball. I think he was like 1-4, 1-4, 0-2, 2-6, 0-3, 2-5, 2-4. It's like, And then all of a sudden, he just – the last 5 games I'm looking at, he's shot over 50% from 3. He's been going off. 25-point game against Purdue, a big reason why they won there. That's not the point, though. Like, my point is that if they can get Ron going – Ron doesn't even have to get going, I should say. If Ron can just get his 20 points and then someone else steps up, there is no reason why this team shouldn't win more games or should have win those past 3 that they got blown out of the water pretty much.
They're a tournament team, and they should win a tournament game.
So
we got a question, by the way. This probably should be for you, but you guys concerned with the lack of offensive development from Miles? Miles Johnson?
See, that's a tough one. Does Miles really have anything on offense? Does he have a post game? Sometimes, occasionally. But he's not that player. You kind of said he plays above the rim. He'll get those offensive boards. He'll get putbacks. He'll get stuff like that. And I don't know. I guess there's a little bit of a concern that he hasn't developed anything. And the fact that he hasn't developed anything kind of makes me a little more concerned for Cliff as well, because Cliff has 0 post game right now. He's a big defender in the paint. And if Cliff doesn't develop anything, I don't know if Cliff makes the league.
Right.
I think Cliff has a very good shot at the league, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that to you, but the fans on my board know that for a fact. I said that the minute he committed, I gave him 3 years and he's in the league. But I guess it's a concern. But you don't expect a ton of scoring from your bigs unless your name's Luka Garza, which is
right.
Of course.
Or Micah Potter.
Micah Potter's actually
Nate Rivers in the last 8 minutes of games turns into Luka Garza. But before then, I don't know.
There you go. Well, I guess it's different when you have bigs like that can shoot from just about anywhere on the court. I don't think Miles' offensive game goes beyond the block or that even half cylinder. It's about it. And I think that's what you're going to get from him. I don't think there's anything surprising about it. I think they knew that when they got him. And then, I don't know. It's a tough call right there about Miles. I'm intrigued to see how this game goes, because I don't know how Miles is going to defend a guy like Potter, or I guess even if they put Reaver.
I'm worried about the opposite of that, by the way. I'm worried about this is the kind of game where Micah Potter could get caught in no man's land and pick and roll quite a bit.
Yeah.
And Miles Johnson could do the only thing he has to do on offense, which is throw it down off of a high lob. Only thing he has to do on offense, that is, if Micah Potter gets lost in the pick and roll. But Miles Johnson kind of reminds me, I'm a Clipper fan, and that's sad in itself. But
I'm a Nets fan, so I am beyond happy right now.
Well, we can talk about that for another hour.
Yeah.
James Harden to Brooklyn, guys, if you haven't heard, if you're living under a rock.
Big news.
DeAndre Jordan kind of reminds me of Miles Johnson, not in the exact same way, but in terms of what Rutgers fans, it sounds like, are saying about him, where I was just begging DJ, like, he had his role, right? He was a good defender. He was a good shot blocker. This is in his prime, and actually he's on the Nets now, by the way. Not in his prime anymore. But
far from it.
Couldn't shoot free throws and just never. I mean, for 4 years we heard DeAndre's going to develop a little post game. He's going to develop a little post game. It's going to happen. Little lefty baby hook. It's going to happen. He can drop step lefty hook. It never happened. It never happened ever. And I feel like that's kind of what Rutgers fans want from Miles Johnson. It's not a lot, right? It's just a little. Like, can you throw the ball through him on the block at all? Not that he's your first, second, or third option, but can he catch it on the block and score on his own? And that's something that I wanted from DeAndre, never got, and it sounds like Miles is lacking in. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Rock Auto is the place to go to get any car part, any make, any model that you can think of, all at a wholesale price. RockAuto.com is a family-owned business that has car parts from any era, any model. You go onto the website. On that left side of the website, there is a database. You put in the year. You can select which model, and you will find that part you are looking for way cheaper than going to the dealer. You get it at a wholesale price, and you can do some easy fixes yourself at RockAuto.com. When you check out at rockauto.com, R-O-C-K-A-U-T-O, Rock Auto, make sure that you tell them Locked On sent you in the How Did You Hear About Us box. R-O-C-K-A-U-T-O, Rock Auto, Rock Auto, rockauto.com.
Yeah, I mean, it's year three already. He hasn't really developed anything crazy. He occasionally he can get like you said, he'll get those pick and rolls. He'll get those up. He plays above the rim. There's nothing like unique about it. I just don't know if he's ever going to develop that post game that people want out of him. And I don't know if Cliff's going to develop that either. I think you're going to want him to, of course. But going back to that matchup between Potter and Johnson, you said pick and roll. Can we talk about – does your center do this? Because watching Rutgers, Miles Johnson, whenever he – like on the pick and rolls, he for some reason hedges out 3 feet beyond the three-point line. I don't know if Michael Potter or Reavers does this, but there's some times where he's just on the hedge and it's just, what the hell are you doing? And then – wide open basket for whoever the opposing team is.
Yeah, I mean, it's more for Michael Potter, it's more he'll roll with the roll man and just not commit or roll quick enough with him, and he'll just kind of be backpedaling instead of just like committing to going with the roll man. He'll just start like backpedaling, and now he's, when he's in between that guard and that roll man behind him, he's in no man's land. And that's where he gets caught a lot of the time, is just in between the ball handler and that athletic big. The Maryland game last year was just the prime example of it. Justin Smith, Sticks Smith, who I'm sure you remember well from the Big Ten. He's an NBA player now, but he was
top 10 pick.
He was great last year all around for Maryland, but he really gave us problems in that exact instance. So Miles Johnson could – he's not Justin Smith, but he can do some of those same things above the rim.
Yeah, it's just like – I guess it's kind of the opposite of what you just said Potter does, but for some reason he overcommits instead of undercommitting. Right. It just sounds like Potter kind of undercommits a little bit and he just loses a step or two and then wide open basket. But he overcommits and just the lane is just open. And there's just some times where like – it doesn't happen this much as much this year as last year, but I saw it in the past couple losses and it's like, what are you doing? Like, do not inch out too far. Once you're beyond that 3-point line, it's, you got to start to question what, like the hedge a little bit. But yeah, other than that, I mean, I think this game is going to be intriguing. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. Both teams need a win very badly. I just don't know.
What's funny is that when you DM me about this game, you said, I think the first thing you said was, I expect Wisconsin to roll.
I did, but now I saw that
along those lines. And the first thing I said back to you was, I don't at all.
Yeah.
So neither of us are confident in our teams. We're only confident in the other. Do we want to finish off here with a prediction?
Yeah, I guess we can cut it off with a prediction. I don't know, man. That you can go first with that one. I'm looking at this. I keep looking at that 77-54 Michigan game, and it's just like, what the heck?
That was a one-time thing.
Is it? Was it?
Score. I absolutely was. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong. Like I said, non-Trice, non-Potter were non-existent offensively. Michigan shot the lights out. Mike Smith was awesome, the Columbia transfer, in the second half. Isaiah Livers was awesome in the first half. Wagner was great. About the only thing that went right for Wisconsin was stopping Dickinson for the first half of the game. But besides that, I mean, offensively, it was a complete disaster. There was a 43-6 Michigan run in there from last five of the first half.
Say that again.
43-6. And Locked On Badgers listeners, this is the last time I'm ever going to say this.
So God.
We're never going to talk about it again. Don't worry. But yes, 43-6 run, 5 minutes left in the first half. Micah Potter, like I said, was out, and he was playing great basketball. And Reavers was really struggling. And like I said, they interchanged those guys, right? So when Potter sits down with two fouls, Reavers comes in, and Reavers just didn't have it. So on either end, he didn't have it. So
you hear that, Rutgers? Get Potter in foul trouble, and you're good.
Well, no, because Reavers brings it. You don't know. Like I said, the only thing I can count on, offensively especially, with Wisconsin, you can always count on usually count on really solid defense.
Yeah.
But the one thing in the half court, especially the one thing I can always count on offensively now, and I would never have said this a year ago, Dietrich Trice is going to bring it. Besides that, I can't tell you.
Yeah. So what's your prediction? You think they pull it off and just come out guns firing, guns blazing?
I think the first 10 minutes for Rutgers is really important because I think Wisconsin will have that initial burst, especially defensively. And I think where Wisconsin wins this game is in a low scoring, grind it out. And at some point, that sounds very classic Wisconsin. Like I would always say that, but I actually haven't been saying that recently.
Same scenario over here.
I actually haven't been saying that recently, by the way, because we actually won a game at Michigan State that was the opposite of that. This team looks good in transition. They actually look good playing fast sometimes. I don't think this is that game. I think this is play our game and have Rutgers beat us at our game. I don't think you guys can beat us at our game if we can stay disciplined, stay slow, stay in the half court. And Locked On Badgers listeners know that that's not something I've been saying this year. I've been wanting us to push it. I've been wanting us to attack in transition. I've been wanting us to play a little faster overall. This is not that game for me. I think it all starts on the defensive end. Can they shut down at least two of three when it comes to Jacob Young, Geo Baker, and Ron Harper? Because those guys are going to get some buckets. They just are. But if two of three have bad nights, I think, or not even terrible nights, just pretty bad nights, I think that's a Wisconsin win. And can Wisconsin control the glass? That is going to be huge. And I'm sure you guys have that exact same worry as well. But I'm going to go Wisconsin in a really, really close one that goes back and forth. And Dimitri Trice hits a couple big shots. And Trice lifts Wisconsin at the very end. I've called him Mr. Bailout on the podcast. He's going to be Mr. Bailout tomorrow night when Wisconsin needs him. Give me the Badgers 64-62.
Oh, you're going low. Okay. Are you pretty, do you see the over under or no?
I don't see. It's not out yet, is it?
Yeah, 134.
Well, so I'm clearly taking the under. But yeah.
I'm gonna go with the opposite here. I feel like these teams are gonna come out guns blazing, especially Wisconsin. I don't think you're gonna see another performance of Reavers going 2 of 9.
No.
Ford going 2 of 8, Davis going 0 of 6. I don't think it's gonna happen again.
One of the three might do that again. But all three right.
But I'm really intrigued. There's a couple of things about this matchup for Rutgers I'm intrigued about. I'm intrigued about the two bigs that are what's Reavers 6'10", 6'11"?
Yeah, 6'10".
And then Potter's 6'11", pushing 7.
Yeah, Potter's a little bigger than Reavers, but Reavers can block shots with the best of them. He's Wisconsin's all time blocks leader. So
there you go. So for a team, what do you have? Only one against Michigan, but I think those two, it's going to be intriguing to see if Rutgers gets out rebounded again for the sixth game in a row at this point. I think also on top of that, it's going to depend on if Cliff Amarui plays. If Amarui plays, I think there's a very good shot Rutgers could hang in there and come alive in the end. And just giving Miles Johnson that kind of those breaks here and there, it's going to make such a difference in his play and his game.
What's your gut, by the way, the same trip on Amarui playing?
I think he's going to play. I think the fact that he's been out for 2 weeks, 2.5, 3 weeks now, I guess, I think he's going to play. He was running around on Friday, Thursday, whatever the practice was they had. Pykel said yesterday he was running around in practice again. He's getting a little more back into it. He didn't say if Cliff was like actually practicing. And from what I was told recently, it's a 50-50 split right now. They don't know if he's going to play or not. They probably won't know until a tip-off, I'm sure, but I think if just having him there makes such a difference for Miles, having him out there, he's a great rebounder. So that's going to make a big difference. And then, I don't know, it's going to depend on if Ron's scoring there, is Gio's there. You mentioned it before. Can they shut down Trice? Probably not, but if you could slow him down a little bit, I know, Michigan tried their best and they still went 7 of 13, 4 of 7 from 3. And then on top of all that, this team is god-awful at free throws. And I don't know what is going on at the free throw line, but last game, I don't know if it was last game or the game before, Miles Johnson started out 0 of 7 from the line. That cannot happen anymore. You cannot be shooting 50, 60% from free throws.
Right back to my DeAndre comparison, isn't it?
It's right there, actually. Not as athletic, but he's similar game, similar styles, I should say. But I don't know. I think you got it right. The fact that it's going to be back and forth, back and forth. The fact that Rutgers had a week and a half, or not even a week and a half, 6 days off, whatever it was, because of the Penn State postponement. I think they're going to come in the same way that Wisconsin's coming in. I think it's going to be I don't even know what to call it, a war back and forth of shooting. I think both teams are going to have really good shooting performances. I think that I don't think there's going to be much defense in this game, if I'm being honest. I think we're going to hit that. I would hit that over if I was someone. I think it's 134 right now, 134 and a half, whatever. The spread's 2 for a reason. I think Vegas always knows too. On top of that,
is this Wisconsin -2?
Yeah, Wisconsin.
Wow. Well, I just gave you a Vegas nose without knowing the spread
because I know. See, and there you go. And then you saying that, I think it's going to go back and forth. I'm going to go with I think both teams average like 74, 75 around that. I'm going to go like 77, 74. If I'm a replays, I like Rutgers chances. If not, I don't like Rutgers chances at all.
This was the Locked On Badgers preview show. A little different this time where we did it live with Richie and I. But stay tuned for my post-game reactions up right after the Rutgers game. As always, on Wisconsin, we need a win now. Let's get one.